Hey, this is Danny here from Podcast Stories. Thanks so much for listening, and I'd love for you to get the latest episodes when they're released. So make sure to follow on your favourite podcast app or hop on over to podcasterstories.com/listen. If you enjoy the show and want to support it, you can do that at podcasterstories.com/support to join other supporters just like you. Thanks so much for being part of the Podcaster Stories community. And now, here's this week's episode.
How much time can you promote? How much time can you dedicate to the extra marketing stuff you have to do with your podcast? And does that align with the goals and the premise and the audience that you're going after? Maybe you should start a 5-minute show or a 10-minute show, because an hour-long interview, editing, promoting, uploading, transcribing, show note writing, really starts to add up to like 8 hours an episode. And then you start to realize, oh my God, I don't have time for this, because you still have to go out and promote it.
This week, I'm chatting with Matt Medeiros, host and co-host of, well, a lot of shows, which we'll talk about in this episode, as well as the legacy Matt is looking to create. So Matt, welcome to Podcast Stories. How about you tell us about your shows and yourself?
Hey, Danny, thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure, and I'm excited to dive in. Yes. So I do a lot of shows, both personally and professionally. I started podcasting 10 years ago. I started a podcast called The Matt Report. And like a lot of folks today, what I was trying to do back then was just get some awareness in the agency space that I was building at the time as a WordPress agency. And what I quickly realized back then was, as a non-developer, somebody who doesn't like actually design and develop the websites, I needed to sort of have a leg up to the competition back then, which was just all developers. Now you got to remember, this was 15 years ago. So podcasting and marketing and YouTube, it was really just starting out those days. But I knew from what I was seeing in the WordPress space, I have to be something else in order to win these clients. And it was a podcast. I was a huge fan of a podcaster, Andrew Warner from Mixergy. It was the heyday of startups and stuff. And I was listening to his podcast and I said, you know what? I'll just do the Mixergy of WordPress. That's what I'll do. And I just started talking to people in the WordPress space. And over time, started making more connections with other developers, other agencies, and the whole, you know, build it and they'll eventually come thing worked. And then it worked for a podcast back then, because I was so early on in the WordPress podcasting space. And I started getting more clients, started getting folks working for us. It was really a flywheel to running the business back then. And, you know, over time, just sort of grew that podcast to help the WordPress community, help others find jobs. I'm not in the agency space anymore, but it's sort of the cornerstone of what got me started behind the mic. And, you know, as we chatted before we came on air through email, and the word legacy, I almost sort of like scrunch down when you say that. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be like this. I don't think I'll ever get in the podcasting Hall of Fame. But I do a local show to my local area, the south coast of Massachusetts, about an hour south of Boston. And my family growing up owned a bunch of car dealerships in our local area. That's how I got my business background. And there'll be a connection here, I promise. What I saw my family build over time, the connections in the community, folks that have relied on them, depend on how they help the community, I wanted to be able to do the same thing, or I do want to be able to do the same thing for my children. I have 3 young boys. So podcasting in the local scene will be something that I am definitely determined to do for at least the next 20 years, so that for whatever comes out of that local show could help my children, just like the businesses that my family ran helped me. Because I want that connection. I want to have that connection to the community, and something that, you know, my children can leverage if they want to be podcasters, or they just want to meet somebody that that can help them throughout life. That's the legacy portion for me. I do a bunch of other shows, but we can also.
But that's the two core ones at the moment.
Yeah,
And you still do the Matt Report, right? I mean, you mentioned that it was on one of the very first show.
Yeah, I do the Matt Report. That's weekly. I launched mid last year, I launched another podcast called the WP Minute, which is still in the WordPress space. For those
beautiful website redesign, by the way.
thanks. That is akin to what Pod News is for our space. That's 5-minute news show about all the big headlines in the WordPress space. And then my professional day job is at Castos as a director of podcaster success. You and I have similar roles, I'd imagine.
Mm. Yeah. And we're going to speak about that later as well. One of the things I want to ask you about, actually, because you're, like you mentioned, your background is in the heyday of WordPress right from the start, right through to where it is now. And WordPress is now at the stage where it owns about, or it probably powers about 70% of the CMS market and the website market online. And I'm curious, with the news that Spotify just announced about Podsites and the Chartable acquisition, and they seem to be going a similar path to, say, WordPress did back in the day, do you see similar lines with where WordPress and blogging, etc., was for open source to where podcasting is still open source at the moment, but bigger companies are starting to own certain parts of that space?
Yeah, I mean, like Spotify is the Squarespace, or maybe even a better analogy would be Shopify to WordPress, because Shopify, Squarespace to a degree is still a competitor. Wix is still a competitor to WordPress. But Shopify certainly has its sights on something like WooCommerce, which is owned by Automattic, which is the de facto e-commerce solution for WordPress. So yes, I definitely see Spotify moving in that direction. Like, it's very difficult to, or attempting to move that into that direction. It's very difficult to unhinge open source, especially when you look at WordPress. I mean, that is why it is so powerful and so, you know, well, loved and hated at the same time, but why so many people use it, because they can just take it, they can do what they want with it, they can mold it to what they need it to be. In the case of podcast websites, you can virtually do anything if you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, but you do want to take it seriously, like everything else, you can hire a professional to do it, varying degrees of investment. But it's fantastic for owning that platform. I'm sure you do as well. We talk about that a lot in the podcasting space. Own the platform because you don't want the rules changed on you at any minute. You know, you don't want a Facebook page and then suddenly Facebook says, oh, by the way, now you have to pay us to get access to those fans that you had years ago. You don't want the same thing to happen. And that's why WordPress and building your own site is super powerful.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because I know at Castos, the same with Captivate, we have our podcast sites offerings for podcasters. You've got the, like, say, Brandon's got the Podpage offering, which is a really good solution. And then you have WordPress. And I'm wondering if there will ever come a time where maybe hosts will sort of pull back from offering site solutions and just leave it to external, or if maybe external will lose it to podcasters who want to come in with a really quick, easy solution and not have to worry about, oh, do you have to do this plugin? Do you have to do this plugin, etc.?
Yeah. I think just making that, as podcast hosting companies, making that, educating the customer to say, okay, well, it'd be smart for folks like you and I, Castos and Captivate, to not go too deep with the website solution, because there's always like the next feature that you could build. And then before you know it, you are building just a whole new CMS and you find yourself a year later going, what the heck did we do? Like, are we a podcast hosting company or a website hosting company? So it's like very important that we address that and understand what we can offer for the right type of podcaster, because there will always be that podcaster who just give me the basic website. Like, I'm selling cupcakes. I'm just talking about cupcakes. I don't need anything. I just need this, you know, nice little landing page. So very important that we can make that determination.
Now, you mentioned obviously growing up your family on a series of car dealerships. And I know I'm reading your bio and finding out more about you. Your dad played a really big part in your life growing up. But it's a bit different from maybe the dad. Well, I mean, you mentioned car dealerships. I was going to say it's a bit different from the dad that teaches the kid about, well, this is how you repair an engine or get a car back up and running or being handed around a house, etc. Your dad's also very into the tech industry and the tech space. And I'm curious how that came about and how that sort of led to where you are today.
So my dad was always into tech ever since I can remember, largely because he was running a car dealership. And when I think back to as far as I can actually remember, it's tough because I can barely remember what I had for lunch yesterday. But to think back to like when I was a kid, I do remember my dad had what was the equivalent of a laptop. This was like the first computer I had ever seen. It was equivalent to a laptop, but it was literally the size of a suitcase. And it had a handle like a suitcase. And the whole keyboard came off the side of the device. And there was a little, I don't even remember, 4-inch CRT green screen with the floppy disk, the 5.5-inch floppy or 5.25 that you put in to the side. That was the first laptop I had or computer that I played with. And then every year he would get a new computer because he had to, because of the dealership and the software. And it, back then things were rapidly changing in technology. I remember he had a laptop that had a printer in it, and that was like amazing. Wow. It was a compact and you had a little ball wheel in it, you slide the paper in and it would print, and we were like, wow, this is so cool. But that's what really got me into, say, technology. And then his brother, my uncle, one of my first science projects that I can also remember was he showed me how to make an AM receiving radio. I don't remember how to do it, but I just remember it having like a toilet paper roll with copper wire around it, and you spread it out on a board, and he wired in, like he soldered in a little headphone, and I could actually tune into AM radio by moving like this copper dial on like this piece of wood.
Wow.
Right? And it was just a weird coincidence when I think back of like this mix of technology and radio. And then when I got involved more in the dealership, my dad would go to the radio station all the time to record commercials or be on the local radio shows that were happening. So it was weird because I was exposed to it for so long, but I had never thought of it that way. And, you know, that's sort of what got me into this mix of technology. And as I, you know, progressed into the car dealership, websites and software and all this stuff for buying cars really evolved. And that's what pushed me into eventually us starting an agency and me starting a podcast. It was just this crazy combination of technology and radio growing up.
And is your dad still involved now with your podcast and stuff? And you mentioned with the local podcast as well and what you want to achieve with that. Is your dad still involved in that side of it?
So no, my dad's not in the podcast side. He still runs the agency day to day. That's what we started again, I think 12 or 14 years ago. I can't even remember time. Strange these days, but he still runs the agency. And when I started having kids about 5.5 years ago, I was like, this agency life is pretty tough. Like, it's not easy to have kids and run an agency at the same time. It's pretty stressful. So I got a real job at a WordPress hosting company, which then led me to Castos. But he still runs the agency today. And I just do the podcast myself.
And as you mentioned earlier, you're at Castos, which is a podcast hosting distribution analytics company. And beyond your own podcast, you obviously help other podcasters with your role as director of podcast there. So what does that entail? What's your sort of day-to-day and how does that differ from what you used to do?
Yeah, so it's still education. It's still, you know, meeting and greeting with customers. You know, I'm sure maybe you experience this too. It's, hey, how do I get a podcast off the ground? Or I want to be a millionaire as a podcaster. And you have to like, okay, I'm great. It's amazing you have those ambitions. Let's talk about reality and like how you actually get there. So it's a lot of education, creating content, hosting the podcast there, doing the YouTube channel, and really just trying to, you know, create the content and speak to the types of customers that we service. And again, largely WordPress. We have a lot of folks who come from the WordPress side. So it's a healthy mix where I'm still using the WordPress hat that I've been wearing for forever, and showing people the right solutions, the right ways to build a WordPress website, the right plugins to use, you know, to build out a website, and, you know, just really make that work well for, you know, their podcasting efforts. So still largely lots of education, helping the sales team, things like that.
And have you noticed, we've noticed in the last maybe 12 to 18 months, as podcasting, I guess, has gone through a real renaissance and advertisers have come more into the three and companies are spending a lot more dollars and a lot more money. We're now seeing a lot of experts and gurus appearing with awesome advice about making $1 million and selling your show within the first 30 days, etc. Do you find that makes it harder for your role and for your job, for the people you're trying to help, because they're seeing XYZ who's got 10, 20, 30, 40,000 followers that they may have bought on social media, giving out this great advice that must be true compared to what you're trying to educate them with?
Yeah, I do have a love-hate relationship with that, because one, it's good that there's like awareness happening. So that's good. It's just pretty bad when they get to us and they thought they were, you know, that they just by publishing the episodes, they would get more. They would just get the podcast subscribers that they were hoping for. I just had a meeting last week with great woman. She has her own personal brand. It's sort of in the coaching space. And she had a marketing team that works with her, and they were on the call too. And there was like six people, and they were asking like, where, you know, why aren't the downloads going up? Why don't we know how long somebody is listening to these episodes? How do we not know like all of these things that you can get with a Facebook pixel, which is what they're used to using? That is just doesn't work in the podcasting world. So it's slowing them down, getting them to understand it. But also, look, for podcasting to really work, especially if you're just building up your following, you got to roll up your sleeves and you have to have the great call to actions. You have to have the great content. I'm not saying you have to worry about it all right out of the gate, because everyone will get better. So long as you're on that pursuit to get better, that's the best you can do. Unless you have boatloads of money and you do want to throw it at ads, then fine. Like, that's a way to do it. That's not the way that I advocate for it. And then the same thing on like the monetization. I think one of the things that's near and dear to my heart, because one, I kind of grew up as a car salesperson, so I have no problem asking people for money, right? I've sort of been rejected so many times that it doesn't even affect me anymore. But I also did a local, when we started our agency, this might be a little bit sidetracked, but we started a local print magazine that was for just tourists. We have a small touristy attraction place where we live. So we actually made a printed tourist magazine that we ran every year. So market, like cold outreach, marketing, seeing the value in what you are building and asking for advertising dollars is something that I'm also very used to. I think a lot of podcasters can also approach it the same way. Your small audience of, you know, 100 to 500 to 1,000 downloads a month or per episode, if you can align that with a brand that sees the value in that audience and you as the creator, you have to sell yourself as the creator, some integrity, some creativity, and you're the best fit for that brand, you could knock on somebody's door and sell.
Hey, this is Danny here from Podcaster Stories. Thanks so much for listening, and I'd love for you to get the latest episodes when they're released. So make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app or hop on over to podcasterstories.com/listen. If you enjoy the show and want to leave a review, you can do that at podcasterstories.com/review to share your thoughts with listeners just like you. Thanks so much for being part of the Podcaster Stories community. And now, here's this week's episode.
You know, $200 an episode, $300 an episode, $500 an episode. It doesn't have to be what you see on Podcorn at like, you know, $6 CPM, right? You can sell the value of your podcast. I do it with Matt Report and the WP Minute because it's a niche audience and it's very trusted. Brands want that trust because they know that there's other influencers who listen to the show and stuff like that. And I do direct ad sales for that. I think a lot of people can do that with their audience. They don't have to be beholden to, you know, the big Spotify ad network or insert your favorite ad network here.
I think that's, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think that's a big misconception that I see in a lot of Facebook groups around the podcasting space, where people are saying, well, you need 10,000, 20,000 downloads per episode within the first 30 days if you want to get advertisers. And yeah, obviously that helps from if you're going the traditional CPM route. But if you're looking at, to your point, Matt, about sponsors that make sense for you, your show, and your audience, there's a Scottish podcast that I listen to over just outside Glasgow. and they're a sports podcast. So they report on the local sports, including the soccer matches, etc. And their sponsor is one of the local pie companies, which makes perfect sense because you're a soccer fan, you're going to a game, you're going to have a pie at halftime with your pint. So they do giveaways and the sponsor turns up and they speak on the podcast on match days and stuff like that. And it's a great relationship and it's really helped them, you know, buy new equipment and really improve the marketing for other sponsors that they may partner with. So I think it's, to your point, it goes back to the educational area where value what you're doing, even if it is only 10 listeners to start with, that's 10 people that are taking time out of their day to let you into their very intimate ear, so to speak.
Yeah, and it starts with valuing yourself first, right? As a podcast, like you have to, and it's tough. Like it's tough to build, well, maybe not for everybody, but it's tough to build the confidence level up in what you're building because it is a vulnerable moment. Number one, it's your voice. Like I hate my voice. And so it's just like every time I hear like, oh God, like how do people listen to me talk on these podcasts? So there's that. There's, am I creating the best content? Am I saying the right things? Are the words coming out of my mouth right? Are people enjoying the story? So I understand that there's a lot of stuff that can sort of really weigh on you, but you have to take a deep breath, look at whatever size audience you've built over X amount of months or years and say, I see value in this myself. I'm confident with what I'm building and I know that my audience trusts me. Now let me go and find a brand that can see the same thing and pitch it at whatever price you're comfortable with. If it's $50 an episode, it's way more than you're going to get if you plug yourself into an ad network. if it's $100 an episode, even better. You're just looking for those small wins along the way. Like you said, pay for your hosting, pay for your new equipment, pay for some lighting, blah, 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 and then build it out over time. And I think it's a perfect, a local podcast, perfect opportunity for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I was speaking to my guest this week, actually, the episode that just dropped this morning, Tony Doe over in Lagos in Nigeria. He's they've got about 500 local podcasters that go after, like there's community there, that go after local audience. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays in as well, now that the space seems to be getting harder when you've got the bigger players, you know, swallowing a lot of other players up, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you spoke earlier about, and I know you got a kind of like sort of scrunched up and everything, about the legacy that you're looking to, you know, leave your children and give your children. So with the local podcast that you mentioned in your local area and how you'd love to, you know, see how that helps your kids get involved in podcast or business or what they want to do in life, what would be viewed as success for you when it comes to that legacy goal?
So there's a few things. For when I look at the local podcast, when I look at the lens of, it's funny, every time I say that I hope my podcast helps my children, I do want to laugh because I'm sure for most people, they're just like, that's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. But what podcasting has done for me is build up that confidence over time and confidence in myself and in what I'm presenting and hopefully communicating. And it has really just helped me like personally as much as it has helped me professionally. And is the idea of broadcasting and communicating and storytelling and meeting people. That's what I want, hopefully, my kids to see, which I'm sure they'll be laughing at me from the ages of 12 to 18. But hopefully, as they get beyond that, they can see, oh, why we know why dad was doing that. And now we feel more confident in doing whatever it is that we're doing in life, going to school, starting a business, getting a job, whatever. That's the part of it that I want to resonate with my children. That's what would make it successful there. On the WP Minute podcast and with the Matt Report, I have been trying to bring a lot more voices in the WordPress community out into the world. So developers, designers, creatives, people who don't normally get on a stage and talk about themselves and promote themselves, especially underrepresented folks that are in tech, getting their voices out there. Specifically with the WP Minute, it is a bit of an experiment where I do actually take audio clips as contributors, as contributions to the show. So if you have a story that you want to tell and you don't have your platform or you don't have a big platform and you want to broadcast it, then I open up the WP Minute to people in the WordPress community to do that. So I have people that contribute audio clips that are in health and wellness, all over the world, talking about nonprofits that they're building with WordPress. And it just gives somebody that small opportunity to tell their story to a broader audience that would take them, you know, months or years to build up. And I want to see that project more than anything else that I'm doing with the Matt Report really evolve to that people can leverage it and turn to it to maybe get ahead a little bit more, you know, in the WordPress space. WordPress space is pretty big. So get them ahead a little bit more. So on the quote unquote professional side with a legacy, that's what I hope I can do. Build that platform for voices for my children. I don't know. Maybe they'll start a Fortnite YouTube channel, but that's fine. at least they'll have the gear for it, right?
Well, my kids would be well up for that. I've got an 11-year-old boy and a 10-year-old daughter, and they're both heavily into Fortnite at the moment. It's crazy just watching them scoot through. I'm looking and go, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. They can do whatever they want.
Maybe your kids can start a podcast. You know your dad's a podcaster when.
Yeah.
And then all the things that you're saying, yeah, keep it down. I'm going to record too.
Oh, yeah. That is commonly said throughout the household. That's one of the great things. I'm at my studio, but in my house, I converted my attic to my home office. And one of the great things about Amazon Alexa is the announce skill. So I can announce downstairs, everybody be quiet. I'm trying to record a podcast and it just broadcasts across all the Amazon speakers.
But I do like what you're doing with the WP Minute about getting, you know, more diverse voices highlighted in broadcast. I know certainly in the podcasting space, there's still a big issue with diversity. It seems like every week there's a list gets produced or shared on Twitter, the top 50 podcasts for entrepreneurs. I know Ariel Nissenblatt, who we all know, she calls it out regularly. Like there's no women or maybe one woman on a list of 50 white men talking about podcasting. Yeah. How would you feel that we can, knowing your experience from the WordPress industry, how do you think we can address that in the podcasting space as well to really, you know, do something similar?
As a bearded white guy, it's difficult, and I don't have an amazing solution for it, but I'll tell you how I've done it, is you have to just put in the work and just make the connections. I spend, for the WP Minute, I spend a lot of time just cold Twitter DMing people that I see because I see a lot of like WordPress chatter happening and with my other, you know, friends and colleagues in the space, and I'll see somebody talk about something that is interesting on the WordPress side, and I'll just reach out to them and say, hey, I would love for you to tell this story that you're talking about on the WP Minute. Or on the Matt Report, depends on like where I think it fits. But more specifically, if you have this reoccurring thing, come to the WP Minute. And that's the only method that I know, and to encourage community. So in the WP Minute, I have a Discord server. So there's a chance for folks to get together and chat about it. But I spend a lot of time promoting their stories for them. And hopefully that leads to more attention to them where they want to continue to contribute, and they actually see the value of, you know, contributing to this community journalism thing with air quotes. And it just brings in more of those voices. You got to do the work. If, you know, you are the bearded white guy like me, you have to roll up your sleeves and knock on the doors of underrepresented folks and say, please, would love to hear your story here, and just do it. You know, get other folks involved and be aware that it's not always, you know, your show.
And speaking of being involved, you alluded to it earlier when you were talking about some of the people that you highlight, some of the things you highlight with the WP Minute. I know you're very involved in the discussion around mental health, mm-hmm. Online and in the WordPress space. So how did that come about? What's your involvement there?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny. Growing up in the car industry and having that thick skin is fine in the business sense, but never really in, you know, the personal space. All my friends in high school and to college, basketball players, going to all the parties, meeting all the people, having a great time, you know, and me not so much. So there was always like this thing of like, oh God, I'm just not good enough. I'm not like them, and just really worked on that. You know, personally for a long time. And sort of the outlet was always in the business side, I was fine. But when it was like the personal and friend side, or like in college, that was always tough. And again, go back to legacy. That's why I'm trying to like show this stuff to my kids so that they can maybe bust through that ceiling if they have it. But it really started to hit when I was doing the Matt Report. And so many over the years, people said, hey, this podcast helped change my life. I got a job. I met this agency. They hired me because you did an interview with me, or I was able to sell more products, et cetera. That started to lead into, okay, I'm really helping people here step outside the box. And then I had this gentleman, Clint Warren, who was, there's these things called WordCamps. If you're not in the WordPress space, there's things called WordCamps. They're in like little mini conventions for WordPress all over the world and all over the United States before COVID. And here was this guy who was like 6'1", built, tons of energy, just like dude had everything going for him. And he was on my podcast for a few times. And then I remember we're going to do another podcast. He was launching yet another product. He was doing some amazing stuff. And then he missed the podcast. And I was emailing him, never heard back. And then his girlfriend reached out to me at the time and said that he had passed. And, he took his own life. And I was just like, wow. Like, I was just like, wow, how does a guy like that, you know, fall victim to this? And it was pretty tough. And it's obviously it's still tough today. But there's an organization in WordPress called the Big Orange Heart, and they help with a lot of mental health areas like this. They invest in it, and it's a nonprofit, and they struggle to keep the lights on. And over the last few years, I've taken some of the sponsorship money and diverted it to a Big Orange Heart because I think it's, extremely important what they're doing. And I've tried to be as philanthropic, if I could use that word, with this small little podcast that I do to kind of give back to that organization. So that's how, I try anyway.
No, I can only imagine what that must have been like to find that. I'm a co-founder of a mental health nonprofit for youth in Canada. And it's like, it's always the people you least expect that seem to be struggling. Yeah. There was a kid at one of the high schools we went to, a jock, big hulking jock in the football team. And everybody seemed, so his outdoor demeanor, and nobody knew he was struggling inside. It was only afterwards that he found the strength to come forward and talk about it that people even knew there was an issue. So I'm sorry for your loss. And kudos for trying to keep that memory and that legacy going with what you're doing with, with the charity and the help resources.
Yeah.
So as someone that obviously has a lot of podcasts, on the go currently, and maybe even be planning a podcast down the road, do you have any advice for new podcasts coming into the space? You'd mentioned about don't start running before you've even walked with your first mic or whatever. What would be your advice for new podcasters?
Oh boy. So this is a good one because, I'm not good at planning and I ran for 5 years, the podcast without a plan, and without organization. And I know it's so cliche to say, have the goal, set the plan, all of that stuff. It is oh so important to at least have some kind of premise for your show thought out, even if it's just a couple sentences bullet pointed out into a Notion document or something like that. Spending just a little bit of time thinking about what the premise of my show is going to be and who do I really want to reach. And maybe if you're just starting out, can I really reach them? Can I really reach this audience? Do I really want to reach this audience? Everyone loves the first 12 episodes of their podcast, and then it's like work after that, right? So it's just like, how do, like, set the plan. This is what I want to go after. Here's who I want to speak to. And will I really enjoy this along the way? If I'm answering yes, and I feel comfortable doing that, then that's the best advice I can give for somebody before they start looking even at microphones, software, hosting companies, etc. And then, how much time can you promote? How much time can you dedicate to the extra marketing stuff you have to do with your podcast? And does that align with the goals and the premise and the audience that you're going after? Maybe you should start a 5-minute show or a 10-minute show, because an hour-long interview, editing, promoting, uploading, transcribing, show note writing really starts to add up to like 8 hours an episode. And then you start to realize, oh my God, I don't have time for this, because you still have to go out and promote it. So have the plan, but also anchor that right up against, how much time do I have dedicated to market this and promote this as effectively as I can? Because that's what's going to make you feel good. We do want to see the downloads going up, but you have to have the marketing effort behind it. So start with a plan and start to think about, how much time do I have to market it? That's the advice I would give.
And that's awesome advice. The marketing, I think, to your point, is something that a lot of people forget. You know, it never stops. You know, if you do, even if, like you mentioned, like a 5-10 minute episode, it never stops. You're going to be promoting that for the next day, not just after drop date, but the weeks after, you know, and just dropping in old episodes again. So, no, excellent advice. I see that a lot, where people just say, well, why have I not got 10,000 downloads? Well,
yeah. You haven't shared it. I haven't told anyone about this podcast. Why isn't it growing?
Exactly. So, Matt, I really, really enjoyed our chat today. I know this is the third time we'd mentioned it earlier, due to COVID and all sorts of other stuff that we've been trying to connect. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to chat. And I know people are going to take a lot away from this episode on various points. So I appreciate that. For people that are looking to connect with you online, check out what you do, where you work, listen to your podcast, etc. Where's the best place for them to connect with you, or how do they connect with you?
Yeah. So on Twitter is where I spend most of my time, at Matt Medeiros. And the best website is craftedbymatt.com. I have all of the links of everything I do and mostly have done over time, craftedbymatt.com.
And I'll be sure to leave the links to Twitter and the website in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, always check the show notes as usual, and the links will be there. I urge you, go check it out. There's a lot of good stuff there, regardless if you're into podcast and WordPress, or even, you know, some car dealership information that you may not get anywhere else.
Yeah.
No special podcast. So again, Matt, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Danny.